as I was standing back there while we were singing, you know, I felt chills just come up my back, just all the way up here, because, you know, those words that we're singing are just amazing. And they mean so much to each one of us, and that's why we can sing like that and praise the Lord like that. I really am going to miss it, brother, and I'm going to miss being here and singing with y'all, because that is just a blessing. I'm just feeling very comfortable here. I mean, I'm so comfortable. I'm so comfortable, I'm even, you know, got to start dressing like I normally do. When I was coming up, I thought, man, this is great. I'm gonna get a chance to wear a suit because I never use suits. And, you know, I'm finally gonna have the opportunity to feel like James Bond, you know, put on that suit. But just being here, I'm just really very comfortable with y'all, brethren, and I'm very appreciative of you. I can't thank y'all enough for the invitation. I thank y'all for the food, the way y'all just taking care of me and my family. And that's just been so full of love. The consistency of just a group being here every night. I mean, I know that's hard to do because everybody's working and they've got things to do, and to take the time to be here, I mean, brethren, that's just amazing, and I'm very appreciative of that, y'all's faithfulness, the fellowship that we've had going out and street preaching, you know, and just it's been a great time, and I really thank you all for it. I thank y'all for having me. You know, I'm nothing, I'm nobody, and y'all invited me. I don't really understand, because there's so many other people to you know, have visiting y'all, and I just feel like a great honor that y'all would have me here, and I thank y'all for it. I'm going to be reading in Luke chapter 22. I really do feel like what I'm going to be preaching on tonight is something that we've really got, I think, very confused. At least, I mean, really, everywhere, it just seems a little confusing around missionaries, this concept, this teaching of Jesus Christ. So I just want to really get into this, and I'm going to ask Brother John to pray for us before we start.
Father, thank you for gathering us here tonight. Thank you for the week we had. Thank you for the things you've heard. Thank you for the blessings you were blessed us with. Father, I pray that you fill my brother with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and the boldness and the power and the unction and the wisdom and the means to preach your word now. Give us listening ears and seeing eyes and an understanding heart, Lord, and just deal with us as you see fit to deal with us. Give us what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. We just pray that you have your way with your people here tonight, and you get all the glory and the honor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. It's a sad thing that it's coming to an end. Really, brethren, I'm going to miss y'all. I can't believe I'm leaving tomorrow. I don't want to go back. Usually, you know, being a week away from the home, you know, you want to get back, you know, get back to your schedule and to doing things, you know. But I really don't want to go home yet. Luke chapter 22. I'm going to read verse 35 to verse 37. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must be yet accomplished in me. and he was reckoned among the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end. Jesus is coming to the end of what he came to do, right? This is what he's saying. He's saying, the things concerning me are coming to an end. I'm getting ready to be crucified. This is just such an important time in Jesus Christ's ministry, and he wants to share something with his disciples, and he's trying to tell them and teach them that things are going to change. Things are going to change. Things are going to be done differently. He says, you know how I sent you out before? Well, things are going to change, and we're going to do things differently. You see, before he sent them out, and they were to be supported by those they preached to. And now he's saying, we're going to do things differently. I want y'all to go out, and I want y'all to preach the gospel and not be a burden to anybody y'all go to. I mean, he's actually changing things up. You see, there was an old way that he gave, and I want to go there just as well. We're looking at that. I don't want to lose our place in Luke. We're going to go back there later, but we're going to be changing to a few different verses. So I'm going to look at Luke chapter 10 just to see what Christ had said before and the way Christ sent him out before. And you can see this in Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 9, and Matthew chapter 10. All these instances, Jesus Christ, you could say he's sending them out as missionaries to go preach the word. And this is how he did it. Chapter 10, verse 4 through 7. He says, and in the same house, I'm sorry, 4 through 7, he says, carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. You see, this is the way, this is the first way he showed us. This is the first way he taught us to do things. He says, go and preach the gospel. And you're going to get there and some house is going to be opened up to you, and they're going to feed you, and they're going to, you know, give you foot massages. They're going to take care of you. They're going to supply your needs. Why? He says, because the laborer is worthy of his hire. This is the first way that Jesus Christ taught us how to do it. Send out those missions. Therefore, what you need to do is go preach, and you're going to be supported by those you preach to. You're going to be supported there. Now, I just want to, this way of doing it is in no way wrong. It's a completely legitimate way to do it. I have the complete right to go down to Puebla and to preach to those people in Puebla and minister unto them. And I have the complete right to receive their support because I'm ministering to them. But I just want to make it clear that he says here that if you do it this way, when he sent them out this way, he made it clear that when they did it this way, they were laborers. And they were worthy of their hire. In other words, they were laborers who were receiving their wages. They were receiving their reward at that moment. When the people they preached to were supporting them. And they received it. They were laborers receiving their reward. Now, Jesus he flipped this around, right? In Luke. He says, remember, y'all went with nothing. Y'all took nothing with y'all. Did y'all lack anything? No. Y'all were being supported by those you preached to. You didn't lack anything. He says, but now I'm changing things up. I'm telling you, I'm showing you a new way. Things are going to change. If you have one, you take it with you. And if you don't have a sword, you need to sell your garment and you need to buy a sword. You need to provide for yourself. You need to take care for yourself because I don't want you to be a burden upon those that you're preaching to. I want you to preach the gospel freely. It's a new way that Christ was showing them. He was teaching them this way. Now, I want you to know that Paul caught on to this. I mean, Paul just understood this. I mean, he just understood it and he ran with this. This became his life. He said, wow, I like that way and I'm going to do things that way. Paul caught on to this and he decided to do things that way. Let's look at this way, because Paul really does go into more detail and explains this way. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'm just going to start reading from verse 9. He says, "For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait under the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." Now, verse 14, "they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." You know, this is a very famous verse to use in a mission conference. And we use this verse to teach, hey, it's our duty to give to missions. It's our duty to give to missionaries because they're preaching the gospel and therefore they are worthy of living from the gospel, right? Isn't that what he says? He says, they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. So let's give to missionaries. That's not what he's talking about. I just want to make that clear. In this verse, he's not saying that it's your duty to be supporting missionaries. In this verse, he's actually teaching that it's your duty to support those who minister spiritual things unto you, not to support missionaries. I want you to know, and I just want to make this clear, that it is your duty to support your pastors. I hope that's clear. It's not something you do just because you're just in love with your pastors. And you decide one day, oh, just because I love them, I'm going to give. You owe it to them. It is your obligation to give to your pastors. It's your responsibility. Why? Because is it a great thing for them to ask or receive your carnal things when they are giving and ministering unto you the spiritual things? No, it's not. That's how God set it up. That those which minister spiritual things unto you should live of that. Your pastors should be supported by you. You think now you might be thinking, what's going on? You know, I don't understand what's going on. Are we in a mission conference? Usually in mission conference we hear, you know, give to missionaries. And I'm not preaching that right now. I'm preaching you need to give to your pastors. That's your obligation. It's your duty. They are ministering unto you spiritual things. It is your duty to give unto them carnal things. That is how God set it up. Now, what he's saying here is that missionaries in that exact same manner have the complete right to receive support where they minister. Okay? When I go to Puebla and I preach in Puebla and I teach in Puebla and I go and visit and I minister to them in a spiritual manner, now it is them that should support me because I'm preaching to them. That's their obligation. But evangelists see it many times the other way. Evangelists see it as, well, the church where I came from is the one that has the duty to support me. And that's not right. That's not what it's saying. Those you minister to are the ones that have the duty to support you. Okay? This just has to be cleared up. I can't go to Puebla and then look back and see the church in San Antonio and say, and say, well, y'all didn't send me enough money. You know, it's y'all's duty to support me. That's not what he's saying. And many times we use these verses and maybe just a little confused because that's not what he's saying. Now, verse 15, we're going to keep going. Verse 15 says, but I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Okay. He's clearing things up for us. He says in verse 15, I'm not trying to get your money. I'm not writing these things to you and explaining you how it works so that you can give me money. I am not after your money, and I want to make that clear is what he says. Now forgive me, but As a missionary, I have to be very clear on what my desire is. I have to be very clear. I have to know what it is I am looking for and make sure that what I'm looking for is not money, is not the recompense that men can give me. I have to make that clear to myself. Now, make things clear. I really want to try, and I'm not sure if I'm doing that, but I want to make things clear. It's not wrong. It's not wrong. I have a feeling, and to me, honestly, when I think of Christians going around asking churches, support me, give me money, I can't help but feeling like that's making it look like a business. This is how I want to live. I want to live by preaching the gospel, so I'm going to ask y'all to support me. Now, I believe that's what it comes down to a lot of times. And I want to make it clear again. I do not think that's wrong. Now, I think the way it's done is wrong, because I don't think it's the people who you don't minister are the ones who are supposed to be supporting you if you want to make it a business style. If you want to make it a business style, then have the people you're ministering to support you. Anyway, you have to consider your motive. If you're doing it for a business, there's nothing wrong with that. The Lord actually set it up so that it could be, in that sense, a business, where you preach the gospel and you live of the gospel. There's nothing wrong with that. But let it be clear. If it's a business to you, that's it. That's all it is. You have no reward. No reward. You just got to know that, okay? You think you want to be a missionary? Good. Praise the Lord. But if your motives aren't clear and you start writing letters and your motive behind that letter is, I want them to send me money. Okay. Maybe there's nothing wrong with that. But you don't get no reward. Because you received your reward. Your reward is they are recompensing you. You are just a laborer who is receiving his wages. Here. And that's it. Let's turn to Luke. Let's turn to Luke. Luke chapter 17. I think we need to read it. Luke chapter 17, verse 9 and 10. Christ is speaking. He says, doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. In other words, I think not. He doesn't thank the servant because the servant did what was commanded of him. That's what the servant's supposed to do. The servant's supposed to do what's commanded to him. He says in 10, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded, you say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Boy, you know, we got some big shots around thinking, I've done what is my duty. You're an unprofitable servant if you only do what your duty is. Boy, we don't think that way. Did Jesus just, is that what Jesus said? We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. We were looking at an example this morning of a man who was doing things. And yet another man who was also doing things was commended above him because he did it for a different motive. He did more than just his duty. He did more. You want a reward? You have to do more than your duty. Go beyond your call of duty. You want a reward? You have to go beyond your call of duty. That's what Jesus says. You see, Paul, he didn't want to just do his duty. I know I made y'all go to Luke. I'm going to go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 11. He says, Second Corinthians. Where am I? See, I'm confusing myself now. Second Corinthians. No, wait. First Corinthians 9. I'm sorry, brothers. I'm just trying to keep y'all awake. Okay, 1 Corinthians 9, that's where we are. I was seeing if anybody of y'all was going to catch that and shout it out, but y'all didn't. Y'all failed the test. He says, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? He says, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? See, other people were coming in and they started taking advantage of this. Hey, we're ministering unto you. Y'all owe us. And they started doing that. And he says, if they're doing it, much more us. We were the ones who ministered so much unto you. But he says, nevertheless, we have not used this power. We have not used this power. You see, Paul could have, in all legitimate reasons, received from those he preached to. But he did not use that power. Why? He wanted to become more than just a laborer. He wanted to become an investor. An investor. Now that's what we're talking about. He was looking for a reward. Not just a laborer who receives wages, but an investor who invests more than just a laborer does and is going to receive more. That's what Paul wanted. He wanted to become an investor. And that's why he says, even though I could receive from you because I ministered unto you, I have not done it. Because then where would my reward be? Nothing. I would just be a servant doing his duty. That's all I would be. It's your duty to preach the gospel. You got to go above, over that. So I can preach the gospel freely. When it's expected that those I minister unto give me the carnal things, I don't receive them, and therefore I am actually investing. Now they're not going to pay me. That means they owe me, and Christ is going to seal, he's going to make everything right, and he's going to give me what they owe me. Christ is going to be the one that pays me. You see Paul's thinking here? You see how he became an investor? He caught on to this, and he just says, I don't want to be just an unprofitable servant. I want to be an investor. So he preached the gospel freely. He did not want to be a burden to those he preached to. So he received nothing from them. Nothing from them. Go beyond the call of duty. Now, if you want to read a few other places that Paul says that, I can give you some verses. Acts 20. 34 to 35, 1 Thessalonians 2, 6, 2 Thessalonians 3, 8, and 9. If you want to talk more about it, hey, I'm here one last night. We can talk more after the service if you want. Now, not only Paul got a hold of this and understood this concept, but, you know, other churches started seeing Paul, and they understood it, and they got a hold of it too. And they wanted to become investors also. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You see, other churches saw Paul's thinking. Paul went beyond his call of duty. Paul said, I'm not going to charge y'all. I'm not going to receive what y'all want to offer me. Because I want God to reward me. I'm going to be an investor. Now, the church has got to seeing that, and they said, well, you know what? I want to be an investor, too. So, Paul is not ministering unto me, so I owe him nothing. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send him support when I don't owe him anything, and that way I become also an investor in the gospel. Wow. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to start at verse 7. He says, have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted? Because I have preached the gospel, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. Listen to that. Listen to that. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them. Those who did not owe me, they didn't owe me. I wasn't ministering to them. They gave me, and so I have robbed them to minister unto you. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you. And so will I keep myself. He was so commended. He said, I am not going to be a burden to those I preach to. I'm not going to be a burden. And he says, I have never been a burden to you. I even received wages from another church, robbed them, so that I would not be a burden to you. Because I want my reward. He says, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. That was his boasting. That's what he had. He was an investor in the gospel, and he was not going to let anybody take that away from him. And the churches in Macedonia caught hold of that. And they supported Paul. Because they didn't know Paul. You see, I think this mentality really changes things. Giving to the gospel, not thinking that it's your duty. You have no duty toward those missionaries. If they're not ministering here, you don't have a duty toward them. It is not your obligation to give to them. And if you've ever felt that, I encourage you, don't feel that way. It's not your duty. If you're just doing your duty, then you're just an unprofitable servant. You need to go beyond your duty. Become an investor. Become an investor. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 16. Here's one of those investing churches that were investing in the gospel through Paul. He says, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift. Again, he was not looking for a gift. He was not looking for money. He was not looking to receive a gift. He says, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Do you see how this investment is all coming together? You see how these things are all tying together? You see, they became investors in Paul. And Paul was doing what he was doing so that they would have fruit on their account. You see, when we look at it as an investment, I think we really have to be wise about it. I don't just give my money out to missionaries. I don't even know anything about these missionaries. I just send out missionaries. He's a missionary. God's going to bless me because he's a missionary. No, I try to be very wise to who I invest in. Because this is an investment. I have no responsibility for supporting the missionaries in Poland. I have no responsibility to them. They are not ministering to me. Ever since they left Mexico, they haven't given me much. Spiritually speaking. But I know the work they're doing. And let me tell you, I want to be a part. I want to have some of that fruit. And you know what I'm doing? I'm investing in that. I'm not doing my duty. I'm going beyond my call of duty to become an investor. And that mentality changes things. When you're doing your duty, you know, you just do your duty. But when you actually can become an investor, when you invest in something, you know what happens? You give yourself to it. The laborer just goes to get his hire, his wages. The investor invests his whole life in it. That's the, you see the difference, right? When the people who own the store are there. Yeah, they know how to make that work because they're all in. And when just the hired labor is in there, they don't care. They don't care if anything sells. They don't care if anything happens because they're not investing anything. And, you know, I feel like maybe sometimes the reason we're not so given to giving to missions is because we don't see it as an investment. We're seeing it as just a duty. We don't give to missionaries out of pity. I hope you know that. Oh, poor missionaries. And missionaries are pretty good at making you feel sorry for them. And boy, it seems like the more sorry we feel for them, the easier it is to give. Poor guys. That's not why we give money to missionaries. You wanna give out of pity, out of charity, out of that kind of love of helping. There's a lot of people that need it. And you could do that in a lot of ways. But that's not why we give to missionaries. We don't give to missionaries because of duty. We give to missionaries because we want to become investors in the gospel. Now, just to make it clear again, to become investors, you have to fulfill your duty and go beyond. You see, sometimes we think, well, we're just going to skip the part of duty and we're just going to go right to investing. Yeah? You see, I'm going to take the money that goes to the pastors. I'm just going to use that to give to the missionaries. No. I don't have time to talk about debt, and we're not going to get into all that. But remember, you owe your pastors. That is a duty. If you're not fulfilling that, then what use is it giving to missions? You're not even fulfilling your duty. Why are you bothering giving to missions? Missions are rewarded to you. Missions are an investment when you have fulfilled your duty and then go above and beyond your call and give more. And boy, it's sad that churches aren't even fulfilling their duty toward their pastors. And I hope the pastors don't feel uncomfortable. They did not tell me this to say these words. They never asked me to do this. But I'm not doing this for them. I'm doing this for you. Because if you don't go above and beyond your call of duty, there's no reward for you. I think a lot of Christians are going to be surprised. Not in a good way. They're going to be surprised that they actually don't get anything. Because the whole time they thought, oh, we're so generous giving to missions. But they were never giving to their pastors. And the Lord says, you didn't even do your duty. So choose wisely. I don't give to missionaries who don't preach. Because remember, one of my principles is that missionaries should preach. And if they're not preaching, then I don't want to invest in them. Hey, if anybody else wants an investment, go ahead. It's an investment. You better remember that investments, what happens with investments? Some of them crash. And at the end, you don't see nothing. I don't want to invest in that. And if I know a missionary is not preaching, I'm not going to invest in it. That is my personal, and that does not have to be yours, but that's mine. I'm just letting you know that was free. So my exhortation, brethren, right now in this is be wise about it. Be wise. Don't just give to give. And don't just give because you think it's your duty. This is not light. This is not something that we take lightly. This is important. This is investing for eternal rewards. Now let's go back to Luke chapter 22. This is where Jesus is just teaching us this. And he wants to teach the disciples this. He's telling the disciples about this, and he's trying to. You see how interesting all this was? I mean, maybe at the beginning I wasn't getting the point across, and you know, y'all were kind of confused. But then after Paul, you know, makes things clear, and I mean, this is just some deep stuff. And Christ is trying to tell the disciples about this new way, this other thing that's happening, because he's going to die on the cross and things are going to change. And he wants the gospel to be free. And he's trying to explain this to his disciples. And look what happens. I'm going to read verse 36 again. He says, "But now he that hath a purse, let him take it. And likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end." And they said, "Lord, behold, two swords." And he said, "It is enough." Have you ever just had enough? If you've got kids, you know what it is to just have enough. Right? I mean, one of them is just crying and crying and screaming and just will not be quiet. You have a headache. And the other two are fighting over a toy. The same toy. I mean, you can change out different toys, but it's always they're fighting because they want what the other one has. It doesn't matter if they have the best toy, if the other one has a stick, that's what they want. And they're just fighting, and you don't understand it, and you're trying to, you know, and you finally just say, "It's enough! It's just enough!" And that's what the Lord had to get to, that point. They bowled him to that point where he just has to say, "It's enough! I'm trying to show y'all great, amazing, wonderful things. I'm trying to talk to y'all about my crucifixion, how things are going to change. And y'all are over there scrambling, looking, and finding two swords. Woo!" It's enough. It's enough. You know, the Lord came to that point, I think, a few times with his disciples. Just acting like kids. It's enough. You know, I think it's enough, brother. I think it's enough. It's enough. I think we gotta wake up and see that the Lord is saying, it's enough. It's enough small-mindedness. It's enough. That reminds me of you know, the two guys that are stranded out in the island, and they the only thing they have is a coconut, and they're fighting over the coconut, you know, like those wrestlers from Michigan, they're fighting over it, and the loser walks off, sad, and he sees a bottle in the water, and he picks it up, and a genie comes out, and he says, "I'll give you anything you want," and he says, "I want the coconut." You laugh.
Yeah, right. Come on. Yeah, come on.
But that's how we are.
Yes, sir.
What are our petitions, brother? Any petitions? I want a raise. And brother, I mean, that's not wrong. It's not wrong to ask for these things. But is that the depth of what we pray for? Is that the depth that we have? That's all we can think of? That's the greatest thing we can think of? We're just asking for the coconut. It's like the guy that, you know, shoves his way through and finally gets to Jesus. There he has. Lord of Lords. What does he ask for? He says, tell my brother to split the inheritance with me. Just asking for the coconut.
Hello.
Do you understand? Do you understand what you can accomplish? Do you understand who you are? You're the child of the King. And you're wasting your potential. Because we're just so small-minded. And I just wonder how the Lord is looking at us and He's just saying, oh, it's enough. It's just enough. It's enough. You need to realize what you're capable of. You know, I don't understand why anybody wouldn't want to be a missionary. I mean, really, I mean, is there anything better than winning souls? Anything. I don't understand why anybody would, you know, when we have a mission conversation, anybody would just stay down when they say, who wants to be a missionary? I figure we would all, if we realized how important and how great, and we wouldn't be so small-minded, we would all just stand up and say, I want to go, send me. And the pastor would have to say, no, sit down, we can't send you all. We can only send a few. We can't send all of y'all. Then what would happen to the church here? But no, we're just, we don't realize what we got. It's right there, but we can't see it. You know, it's enough of the distractions. Christ says one word, swords. In this big old deep, deep, deep explanation, He says swords, and there they go, looking for swords. Just so distracted. Boy, it's easy to get distracted. It really is. But I think it's just enough. It's enough. Let's just focus in. Let's just all be all in it. It's enough distractions. It's just enough fighting. Boy, that's just enough. Now, I don't know this church, but I know churches. And there's a lot of fighting going on amongst brethren. And just like when your kids getting, you know, just fighting and they can't get along and you just had enough. I think that's how Christ is with us. It's just enough. We got a great work to do and we're busy fighting. It's enough of the pride. Oh, but who's the greatest? We're all fighting amongst ourselves because we want to see who's the greatest. And you know, these fights may not be, you know, outwardly, but maybe they're just inwardly. And we're just, you know, well, I'm going to be the better preacher. Well, I'm going to show up first because I want to be. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in your head. But you do. And maybe the Lord's just saying, it's enough. It's enough. It's enough of the bad attitude. You know, it bugs me when my kids have a bad attitude. It bugs me when they're sad. They have no reason to be sad. They got the best dad in the world. You know, the moms. You know, but hey, the best dad in the world. No, I mean, really, they don't have any reason to be sad. They have no reason to have that bad attitude. Yet they always seem to have a bad attitude. And you know when their bad attitude gets worse? Always seems like they get a bad attitude after we do something fun. Oh, we take them to the park. Woo, they have a great time. Okay, it's time to go. Start screaming. Why? I just gave you everything you could even imagine. And you're whining. You know what it makes me feel like? Like I don't want to take them to have fun anymore. But that's the same way we are. The Lord lets us go through some, you know, great times, great things. And then when He says, okay, that's enough of that. Let's go do something else. Oh! Maybe the Lord is just thinking, well, it's enough. Why do I even want to give y'all good times? Y'all can't even just be happy with what I gave y'all. I ain't going to give y'all anymore. You know, it's enough of the excuses. We got a lot of excuses for everything. Excuses for not coming to church. Excuses for not preaching. Excuses for not sharing. We got excuses. But I think the Lord is just saying it's enough. Like He got to the point with Moses. Boy, oh man, just stop giving excuses. No, I can't go, Lord. You can't send me. I don't know the language. And you think that's a great excuse. No, it's not. And I think the Lord's had enough. And He's saying tonight, it's enough. Well, Lord, but we just don't know enough. That's not a good enough excuse. I don't know enough to preach. The Lord didn't tell you to preach what you don't know. The Lord sent you to preach what you do know. You know enough. But we got our excuses. The Lord's saying it's enough. Brethren, I think it's enough. I think it's enough sin. Boy, I know the Lord's saying it's enough sin when we ourselves get so full that we are disgusted by it. What do you think the Lord's saying? How do you think the Lord's feeling? It's enough. It's just enough. Shouldn't it have sufficed us the time that we lived like the Gentiles? That was enough sin. It's enough. It's enough, brethren. It's enough of the excuses. Let's listen to the Lord. Listen to the Lord. He's talking to us. And He wants to show us great things. He wants us to open our eyes. And it's just enough of all this small-mindedness, fighting between each other, excuses that we got, sin in our life. It's just enough. Let's put it all aside. Let's focus on Jesus. And let's respond. And let's pay attention. Let's listen to Him. Love you, brethren. I pray that the Lord will bless you. Thank you. Good night.